Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Pop Culture Rewind. I'm your host Travis.
And I'm Chris.
And this week we are finally doing our 2016 year in review. We've been teasing this thing
The little episode that could. Finally.
We've been teasing this thing for like a month now.
I've been foreplaying it with this guy for weeks because he was like, I don't know. Maybe.
Here's the thing, man. I'll be up front with you listeners right now. The reason I was kind of hesitant about doing this is because last year, I have not had a chance to actually sit down and watch
a lot,
as much movies as that I wanted to see, just either through critical acclaim or just out of my own curiosity about how good or bad I've heard about the movie being. So I was able to watch a few things. I was able to get caught up on a lot of TV shows, a lot of good TV shows this past year. So some of the stuff we're going to talk about is stuff that we've seen, but not necessarily like your big,
Our palettes are very, my palette is extremely limited. I work between 45 and 60 hours a week. So between that and Houston Wrestling Radio and The Dark Match, and we just did another series for our wrestling stuff and catching up on all that, it's hard to squeeze in time to do other things. So my time's very limited as far as soaking in the pop culture goodness.
Yes, you do
a good job of filling me in as like telling me you need to watch this, you need to look at that, you need to make fun of that, you need to throw that away.
And here's the thing, it's almost like an embarrassment of riches that we have over here with all this content, all this
for this for everything TV I didn't shows. See 2016 was a pretty good year as far as like quality and quantity.
Yes. Yeah. We're going to get to that here in just a few. But, so in this episode, what we're going to do, I'm just going to talk about our worthwhile movies that we saw that we're going to talk about, good or bad. TV shows that we really enjoyed this year.
Just came across.
Yeah. And also, we do, 2016 was a lot of things. One of the big things, unfortunately, there's a lot of deaths, celebrity deaths. Normally, I don't get caught up on all that, but there was a lot of this for 2016. And there's a lot that actually, meant a lot to,
Here's how serious it got, to the point that there was a GoFundMe to make sure Betty White survived 2016. And it made over 10 grand. It went to charity, but still 10 grand just to make sure Betty White was alive.
But what did that? Yeah. What? Like, I don't understand. Like, I get it. I think it's humorous that people actually put money. Like, what are you funding? Like, what are you securing other than this guy's bank account?
Like an apocalypse dome where you know that you can survive a nuclear bomb, maybe?
Just like grade A bubble wrap for Betty White, just wrap around.
Pictures of Ryan Reynolds. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't get it. That might give her a heart attack. You never know. Whatever. Let's get right into it. Hold on. 2016, we did a kind of a transition for Pop Culture Rewind. We started off
from the bottom, and now we're here.
Yeah, that's what you did there.
Yeah, you don't know who Drake is.
There was a little shake up in the structure of the show, but used to be we did audio. We took a break, hiatus. Now we said,
we've been flirting with the YouTubes with our wrestling side of things, and we're like, maybe that's pop culture needs. And sure enough,
it's more a little bit fresher. It's kind of a lot of work to do the editing with splicing in. I don't know if y'all on our channel already, but if you're not, subscribe to Pop Culture Rewind and check out all of our exclusive content that we do have on our videos.
I kind of get the feeling that you put a lot of fun into it, because when I go back and watch all these videos, I'm curious to what you put in, and I'm like downstairs in the basement at work.
You don't tell me shit.
Sometimes you tell me just wait till the end, and I'm like watching, and I'm like laughing and shit. Then the end hits me like, ah, you son of a bitch, you got me.
I always try to have the mantra of Marvel in credit, just keep that, so when you watch anything, try to stick to it. I know it's hard. It's hard to watch the whole thing of our episodes, but just bear with us. Watch through the very end if you can.
And if you don't like it, try again next week.
Yeah, it's not all home
runs.
They're
not all home runs, but somehow we score.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, it's a steal every once in a while, and we slide into home base. But it's hard. Yeah. Anyway, so if you're already a subscriber to us, thank you so much. If you're not, tell your friends, youtube.com/popculturerewind. Also, follow us on social media, facebook.com/popculturerewind. And what is that?
Twitter machine.
There you go.
Pop culture RWND.
Yes, sir.
Had to get a couple of vowels there.
And I do still put up our all our YouTube. I take the audio and I do put it, if you're already a subscriber to our iTunes feeds or whatever audio format you listen to for our RSS feed, it is still up. I still do put up the audio version of these. So if you're on the go, you can't stick around and watch the screen all day, just check us out at podbean.com and just do a search for Pop Culture Rewind.
Yeah.
Or on your iTunes, just do a search for Pop Culture Rewind. We're the only one there, so do a subscribe.
I sure hope we're the only one there. We don't need any more plagiarism suits.
Yeah. One's enough, right?
One's enough, yeah.
But enough of that. All right, so on to 2016. Like I said, there was so many good movies and TV shows. What do you want to start off with? Do you want to do some TV shows or movies? Or?
Well, you made a good segue. Let's just start off with what brought us here. The whole rejuvenation of Pop Culture Rewind was the breakdowns weekly or biweekly of The Walking Dead.
Yes.
Negan, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, again, just another example of bringing new life into a franchise that was, in my opinion, was starting to go down on the bell curve.
Yeah,
and what a difference one character makes.
Yeah, a big difference.
Yeah,
it turned things around in a big way.
Yeah,
because to the point where that was one of the changes that we made on the show. That's like, let's do a breakdown of some of these episodes. Mm-hmm. We've never done that before, so. Now it's just the performance of Jeffrey Dean Morgan as Negan, because like you said, I agree with you 100% on that. Like the last season or two, it's like, it's Walking Dead. It's all right.
It's
still
good, but it's not great.
Yeah.
This season. Oh,
cause I've said it before in the first episode that we did, or the Walking Dead recaps, that usually, the season starts off with a bang, and then it
there's a three or four episodes you're like, eh.
Four or five.
Yeah.
Well, like episode two is already starting up. But this one, like week after week, I think there's only one bad episode so far.
And that's the one where Dr. Dre and the chick wound up finding the Oceanside. That episode was
Which, and to this point, to right now, still currently, that has not had any effect on the show. So, I don't want to spend too much time on Walking Dead because, fuck, we spent how many episodes talking about Walking Dead?
All right, let's counter that. One show that I stumbled upon this year after a long-ass fucking time, I jumped into the Game of Thrones bandwagon.
Oh, welcome to the party.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so a friend of mine that bartended at Neil's Bar, that's where I watch Walking Dead. Big projector screen, people get together.
No sponsorship.
It's fun. Yeah. He's like, dude, you need to come here and watch Game of Thrones. So, like an idiot, I started with season 6.
Oh, you fool.
I started with the newest season. And as soon as that finished and all the alcohol wore off, I found the past seasons. And I binged them in like a month and a half from the very beginning. And then I rewatched the last season that just happened this year to like get the full effect of everything. Like Quentin Tarantino, you start at the back, from the forward, blah, 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 blah. You get to where you're supposed to be. Dude, I get it. Like, I understand why everybody's all gung-ho about, holy shit, Game of Thrones.
So now you know the reference of Red Wedding.
Yes. Yeah. I know the reference of a lot of things. So,
and this, and you know what, to your point, we said before, there's a lot of good TV shows. There's a lot of shows, and the last two examples, Walking Dead and Game of Thrones, I think returned to form this year in 2016. Because season 4 and 5 of Game of Thrones, again, like Walking Dead, it was like, it was there, I was watching it, it wasn't great.
I agree.
But I think season 6 really amped it up for whatever reason they're able to do it. It just felt like a more powerful season.
Returning Jon Snow back to life, Cersei losing hold of the her territory, the Battle of the Bastards, like it like continuously everything built up to something. The my favorite episode of the season was actually the one that focused on Hound, when him being alone and actually finally letting his guard down and trusting other people, and then they killed him. They killed the people, and you just see him like the anti-hero that you know he's going to fuck somebody up. And I fucking love that episode. That's another example on its own where you could just watch that 65 minutes from start to finish, and that's enough story to tell you in its own that it's satiated. I loved it. And yeah, it's one of those, another example of how this last season of Game of Thrones, like, probably one of the best ones. Mm-hmm. So, and it's got me ready for this next season, even though it's only, what, 8 episodes or 7 episodes? They're near the end, so they're cutting this, they're spreading it across the last 2 seasons.
But I think they said that it's going to be a little bit more episodes now. I think they're adding in some more episodes somewhere.
Hmm.
So it's still gonna be good though. It's piqued my interest back in to the series again. Another series that came out, they debuted in 2016. That's also on HBO. Was Westworld.
Ooh.
Yeah. Now Westworld. That was I could see it got a lot of critical praise for everything about the show, and I really dug it. I really appreciate all the effort they put into the production and. Anthony Hopkins in there. Everything,
Hopkins.
Excuse me. Yes, Sir Anthony Hopkins. Thank you, sir. I was really impressed. I really loved the opening first couple episodes of that. For me, it did kind of dwindle down a little bit halfway, because once they started introducing more and more side stories and more complexities of the main overarching story. To me, it got a little overwhelming, you know. Mm. Maybe it's because I'm a simpleton up here, but I was starting to lose interest to the point where I was like, man, I don't even know why I'm watching this. But I kept watching it.
Did the season finale?
Pay off. Both me and my wife, because we're both kind of like in the same place on that. We're like, okay. But the season finale of that one, it turned it back around and it made all, you know, connected all the dots for a lot of things and set it up for a good, you know, season two. That they want to do for it. So if you haven't seen Westworld, give it a shot. I may have to go back and watch it again because it's there's a lot. Because, you know, with these kind of shows, it's a lot of just exposition, something happens, exposition. Mm-hmm. You know, something else happens. You know, let's add on to what we already know and this and that. So I may have missed, I'm pretty sure I've missed quite a few things from that show, but...
There's stuff that I've missed that is actually on my computer that I need to make time to watch. Yes. Right now, I'm going into the Grand Tour, which is Amazon exclusive. It's a huge car show, and I'm a huge car guy. The other stuff that's on my hard drive includes Preacher Season 1 and Stranger Things.
Ah.
I know you're going about to talk about one of those two sooner or later, so have at it.
Stranger Things. All right. So, when this show first came out, I checked it out. Maybe a couple days after it premiered on Netflix. And I like the, you know, if you're on Netflix, you kind of know, like, you kind of scroll down, you can see they give you, like, a little screenshot, like a poster or something of what you're watching. And the screenshot of that looked really cool. I immediately got, you know, feelings of, like, 80s flick. You know, it had that vibe already just in the imagery of the poster for it, you know. And so that got my interest already for it. And then, you know, seeing the description, it piqued my interest. And by that point, there was a few rumblings about it. Like, mm-hmm. it didn't reach fever pitch at that point. But I was like, okay, I'll check it out. We turned it on, watched it. We ended up binge watching it like that weekend. So, it was really good. And all these things I'm talking about, I'm trying to be kind of vague about it because I don't want to, you know, spoil too much. You know, because I'm trying to
exhibit A,
trying to hype it up. Yeah, you haven't seen it, so I don't want to. I don't want to ruin too much for you. But it's just a good. If you're a fan of, like, the old, there's a term for term of endearment for it. I can't really think of it, but it's, you know, those 80s kid action movies like The Goonies and, you know, Monster Squad, things like that. It kind of reminded me a lot of that because they had a really good cast of kid actors, which is kind of hard to find nowadays. Mm-hmm. The girl that played her name's Eleven. They call her Eleven in the show, but Millie Bobby Brown.
Mm-hmm.
She's it's interesting to watch her character play. So you're kind of, well, because that's the whole point of the show, was what she's up to. So she's like the magnet, if you will, to everybody's drawn to her. So, Winona Ryder, I'm a fan of Winona.
Mm.
Winona. So, she's good. Good seeing her. I think she was nominated for something. I think she's nominated for an Emmy or something.
Hmm.
But, I mean, she didn't end up winning, but still, I mean, anyway, I know they said that once the show came out and it started getting all this hype and more publicity and the kids started going on all these talk shows, and now you can find them at damn near any Comic-Con now. They're everywhere. Yeah. So now, yeah, obviously there's going to be season two. My only concern going into season two is because a lot of people got hooked on the nostalgia factor of it's set in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And they did a really good job of making it feel like it was an 80s show. I mean, it looks really, really good. Like, the film's almost kind of a grainier.
Like 8mm film?
Almost. Kind of? Almost. It's not, it's HD, but it's not totally HD. You know, if that makes, yeah. It's kind of like a fade to it. How it's not shiny. It's not crisp and shiny.
Okay.
If that makes all sense. All right. But 80s music, you know, the score is kind of an 80s vibe to it, you know. And then, like I said, the kids did a really good job in there. And all the, you know, just the scenery, the clothes, everything. It's just, they didn't overdo it. They played it just right to an 80s thing. But my concern about that is that's what I think hooked a lot of people, the nostalgia of that. And
you're afraid the story's not gonna keep the people's interest going into the second season.
Because one of the writers or producers, somebody said next season it's gonna be more 80s in your face. Basically, that's what they're saying. So I'm afraid that they're gonna sacrifice.
That sounds like an 80s slogan. Also, it's like more in your face, right? Extreme. Well, extreme is 90s.
That's 90s. Yeah.
Extreme is 90s.
But yeah, that's. I hope they don't sacrifice story just for the sake of the setting that they're in. Hopefully. But anyway, that's check it out if you haven't seen it already. It's a really good show.
All right, down to the nitty gritty. Okay. This is going to be our transition period.
Okay.
First, television.
Yeah.
For Marvel,
mm-hmm.
We had a new season of Daredevil, right?
Daredevil season two, yeah.
And we also had Luke Cage.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then on the DC side,
well, we're not done with Marvel, but
we're not done with Marvel. There's more. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Or is
Ghost
you,
Rider.
Or as you like to call
Ghost
it.
Ghost Rider and Friends.
Yes.
Yeah, Ghost Rider and Friends. That was on ABC. I completely miffed it. Yeah. Then DC. Holy shit. DC had Gotham, The Rise of the Villains.
Mm. Well, now it's Mad City. But,
yeah. And then, holy shit, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, Arrow, Flash, the continuity where everybody came together.
Mm-hmm. The big crossover.
The big crossover event.
That was all 2016, yeah.
In television, who won?
Oh.
For 2016.
It's funny that you asked that question because you would think Marvel, just because they're more saturated. Not Marvel, I'm sorry.
DC.
Yeah, DC. Because they're more, there's so much more of it. You have the CW, they should change their name to DCW. Because that's all they are. It's Monday through Thursday. It's a DC show in the primetime slot.
Yeah.
Which that was a change in 2016 was Supergirl. They moved from CBS over to CW to intermix with the rest of the, where they to make it easier for them to
commingle.
And the big catcher on that was they broke their cardinal rule for DC, where it's usually they say no Superman, no Batman for DC. Or for,
then they
for
brought in Superman for the second
they
season.
They casted Superman for the two-part season premiere of Supergirl season two. Mm-hmm. And I watched it just for that. I tried to get into the first season of Supergirl in 2015. I just couldn't get into it, man.
I watched the series premiere episode because they gave it for free on iTunes. Okay. And I downloaded it. And I 20 minutes in, I couldn't. I don't know what it was. I just couldn't.
Melissa Benoist, I'm sorry if I mispronounced that last name, but she is cute as a button as Supergirl. I love the costume looks. Yeah, so that's good, and I love all the comic elements, like the villains and the nods and the references to the comic books. Mm-hmm. I love that, but it's so hard to get through everything else on that show. it's terrible. It's hard to. Just sit
terrible.
It's hard to sit through all the CW aspects of her working in a real world and all the PC stuff that they try to force into the show and all. It's unbearable. I can't do it. If I can get like a supercut of every episode of just of this,
like narrow down the entire second season in say an hour and a half,
like Dragon Ball is Kai.
Dragon Ball Z Kai, yeah. They cut all the fluff and the filler and all the yakety yak and got straight to the
show. Give me the fights and the cool shit and cut all the other shit.
Yeah. Supergirl aside, you had Arrow, you had The Flash, yes. Legends of Tomorrow. Was that stuff still good to keep your interest?
I think Flash, they tried something this year. They did Flashpoint. And if you're a comic book fan, if you read anything with Flash or DC in the last 5 or so years, you know what Flashpoint is. Flashpoint
Paradox. Yeah.
If you haven't seen the animated movie, go. It's good. But that's what this season 3 of Flash is. Is Flashpoint, basically Flashpoint, where it's alternate reality stuff. And
my mom's still alive. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just that, and it wasn't a true. Well, you can't really do the truth.
It's their version for the television. Because if you want the legit version, just
but if you like it, you like it. I enjoy it for what it was. Mm-hmm. I can get through the whole show. It's no big deal. Arrow kind of lost me. Like,
yeah,
really? Arrow had the previous season of Arrow wasn't good, man. It was not good at all. They killed off some characters. The villain wasn't all that, and it just had an unsatisfying ending, and then this season came along, and now it's like a new crew. He's got a new team, and I don't know. It's like they're trying too hard, and it's not working, man. It's not working. Legends of Tomorrow, it's a fun show. Season 1, I couldn't finish. but I was watching it because I knew I was geared up for that big crossover, so I wanted to be caught up with what was going on. That's the only reason I was giving Supergirl Season 2
a snowball's chance in hell.
Yeah, and for the guy that played Superman, it's Tyler, whatever the fuck his name is, he was from Teen Wolf, the MTV series.
Okay.
But at first, when he first came out, I didn't like him. Like, his look, his costume, is just off. Like, I didn't like it. But by the time season 2, or the episode 2 finished up, I was like, you know what?
It works.
He did a good job.
Right?
Because, look, we're going to get to this here in just a minute, I'm sure. But we've been accustomed for the last few years to seeing dark, gritty, moody Superman, you know, in the cinematic universe. This, what he did in this show was a 180. He went old school, like
60s, 70s.
Yeah, like he went Christopher Reeve.
Yeah.
Superman, Clark Kent, and everything. And it took me an episode to figure that out. Mm-hmm. So by by episode 2, I realized it. It's like, oh, okay, I get it now. And it really made a lot, you know, it freshened things up a little bit for my eyes.
Sum up Gotham in one word.
Is that the word? I think that's the word. I think that's the word. Gotham is just, it's all over the place, man.
You make it sound like it's not a good thing.
There's moments. It's just kind of hard to defend the show.
Okay, I understand.
I think it was last year where they had the dude come out and play. He ended up playing, spoiler alert, Azrael from the comics. He had the full-on Azrael garb and everything, and he was, like, jumping around and doing full-on superhero shit. Like, he was jumping around the shadows, and from the shadowy perspective, and they did on purpose the imagery, it looked like Batman, like, floating around.
Oh, okay.
There were some cool elements to the last season and a half of Gotham. I'm watching this because I've been watching it from the first season, so I'm
you're kind of invested.
I'm watching it just to watch it, you know, pretty much, and some of the performances are good, and I like some of the cast members, so I'm still giving it a shot right now. They just did Mad City with they had the Mad Hatter on there and brain control and mind control. So that was fun. Just bringing in actual, you know, more villains, you know.
That Batman would normally beat.
Yes. Yeah. Mm. I'm waiting for the big twist then when the season is over or the series is over that
Alfred's Batman.
No. Fuck that. No. Gordon turns out to be Batman.
Oh yeah, there's one of the current comics where Commissioner Gordon is in one of those Batman Iron suits. Man kind of suit,
yeah,
and he's Batman. Yeah,
but this is like the story. I think I've read this on Facebook or something at one point where I got them the story of how Gordon became Batman. And I'm like, you know what? That's not a bad analogy because Bruce is just a kid and Gordon's the one taking out everybody.
Yeah,
you know the villains are being formed because of Gordon and not what we've learned for the last 75 years that it was Batman's doing that caused, you know, because of Batman, we have the villains type of situation. But anyway, if you can get past that, it's all right.
Break down Marvel.
Marvel. Okay. So we'll transition from the not so good to the good.
Okay.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh my God!
There something needed to be changed on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because the formula wasn't working.
They built up all this storyline for an inevitable Inhumans movie, and now that's not happening, so we need to find out what we're doing with what we have here.
Yeah.
Let's sprinkle in some Ghost Rider. Not just old school Nick Cage Ghost Rider. No, we're talking
like not Johnny Blaze, not Danny Ketch. We're talking
Robbie Reyes in the 69 Dodge Charger.
And that is from the comics.
The newest version of the comics. Which actually, it kind of, the comic itself, I don't think it succeeded that well. But so. After this season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they're redoing it. Actually going to try it again. And I would actually be down to get my hands on some issues. Because that story where he's sold his soul to the devil, but he's doing it from good intentions because he's trying to keep his little brother alive.
Right.
Oh man, and of course, car guy, Charger.
That Charger looks sweet when they're here. And here's the thing: it was too much of a good thing, because you know most seasons, most shows nowadays are split up. They have a mid-season finale, where it's the first half of the season, and then the second half of the holiday break. Mm-hmm. As good as this first part of the season was for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. with Ghost Rider. It looks so good. Like this, they used so many special. They spent so much money on the special effects for Ghost Rider.
They literally took pages out of the. They actually took scenes out of the first two or three pages of the issue one of the new Ghost Rider reboot comic, where he gets hit by the missile and the car flips in the air and becomes the Ghost Rider car. They did it so well in the show.
Yeah, too good.
As much as I loved it. It felt like they bounced off Ghost Rider too much to the point where I was telling you jokingly, it's like, yeah, it's just Ghost Rider and Friends. That's how I saw it. I loved it, but if he's not going to come back the rest of the season, who you're adding next?
Yeah. Well, and the point I was making on that was the special effects was so much for Ghost Rider and everything he was doing. They ended the story like they it was like a
budget bloop. Okay, bye.
Yeah. So they ended that storyline for the mid break. Now we're on, starting this year, they're doing the life model decoys, LMD. Because, they're cyborgs that look like people.
Yeah.
it's about as cheap as you can do. But I'm still invested in this season. I want to see how it finishes up. So they got some hooks into some more people this season. Hopefully, and we talked about this on our show earlier when the season was first coming out, that they need to follow up with this. And that's the one thing I was lacking was... just other characters dropping in here and there that we're used to seeing. And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. wasn't that. It was just them going on missions, and it wasn't nothing to... If you missed it, you missed it. No big deal.
Yeah.
And I think what really hurt them was Captain America Winter Soldier.
Oh, yeah.
When it was revealed S.H.I.E.L.D. was actually Hydra.
And everything got broken
it
down.
It changed everything.
From the back up.
Yeah, it changed what the format of S.H.I.E.L.D. was supposed to be.
Yeah.
So what do you do
and
from
And everybody
that?
Got separated, yeah. And this is the story of them family getting back together
one by one. Yeah, but I think they're working out the kinks of that, and they're getting back, the team's back, more or less. Mm-hmm. And they wrapped up a lot of things, and so hopefully they can continue this.
So was there too much Punisher in Season 2 of Daredevil?
See what you did there. yes. No, you know what? For Punisher's sake, there was, I think, just enough.
Okay.
Because, we'll talk about it, Daredevil Season 2 on Netflix. It returned this year. We already knew John Bernthal. He was coming in to play Punisher. Mm-hmm. In what was already a dark and gritty TV show based in the Marvel Universe, the Marvel Knights Universe, to say. When we heard that John Bernthal was going to come in as Punisher, I was stoked.
That was a perfect fit.
I was stoked.
Shit.
Yeah. So, this I knew it was going to be good. I knew it was the right choice for it. And then they also brought in Elektra as well, too.
Mm-hmm.
Which, it all connects because, it's Elektra and Daredevil. Love all know that connection. Yeah. And they did a good job of, they kind of changed up a few things for the origin, but it all worked in this context of the story. But to answer your question, John Bernthal as Punisher, it wasn't so much in your face or anything, but he was so imposing on the screen as Punisher. Like, you just want to know more about this character, and it worked. They did announce they are going to do a Punisher series on Netflix,
and Daredevil is going to build up to the Defenders.
No, that's We are going to get a Daredevil Season 3 and a Punisher later on, but this year, 2017, we got Iron Fist coming out.
And then we had Luke Cage.
We had Luke Cage. We'll get that here in just a second. We're getting Iron Fist, and then we are getting The Defenders, which is like the Netflix version of The Avengers, pretty much.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Luke Cage. What were your thoughts about Luke Cage?
Breaking out the Harlem side of New York and having a predominantly black cast. I'm like maybe three episodes in. I am really surprised. I like it a lot.
It's almost I don't want to say blaxploitation, but it almost feels like it's got that 70s vibe, urban in Harlem vibe to it. They did a really good job on the setting, I gotta say. The cast was excellent. I think I was so impressed with that cast. They did an awesome job in that series, the whole series. Like, I couldn't find something bad to say about any of the cast members.
Coming from a white guy.
Yeah.
Go figure. Thanks, Trump.
Yeah, what are you going to do? I think I was about to say something, and you threw Trump's name in there.
Nah.
But yeah, that show was so good. So good, in fact, that it actually crashed Netflix. Like, I never heard of that before. I never heard of it crashing, like Netflix crashing from the debut of a new series. So that just tells you something, how good that show. Stranger Things didn't even do that. So
we covered the TV side. Now the movie side.
Yes.
DC. We got the 1-2 punch of Batman versus Superman and the Suicide Squad. Did the positives of one outweigh the negatives of the other?
I got my stress ball here.
Or were they both equally as bad? Or did they both have potential that were just, like, squandered? What'd you think?
They both definitely have potential. I'm not taking that away at all. Let me start with Batman vs. Superman first, because that was the first one we got hit with. All right, that was in March. Mm-hmm. Came out in March.
Rotten Tomatoes was, like, at 20-something at some point?
Yeah. But
for anybody that thinks that's a suitable gauge for movies.
But you're on the right track. You're on the right track.
It still made money, in spite of itself. Yeah, it was,
box office-wise, it was a success. Critically acclaimed-wise, it was...
And even box office, y'all wouldn't even know if I would call it a success, because it took about what it made to cover expenses, promotion, filming, and everything. So I don't know if it made a profit, per se, but at least...
Yeah, it made a profit, but it wasn't...
It wasn't a hole in the ground. I mean, it's fucking Batman, Superman, and Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman.
And that right there,
that was the diamond in the rough right there for me.
That scene, first of all, this is like a 2.5-hour movie, almost 3-hour movie.
3 hours if you get the unlimited edition.
There's already questions about the cast, especially about Gal Gadot playing Wonder Woman and Ben Affleck playing Batman, Bruce Wayne.
Which I liked.
I love both those choices.
I forgot about Daredevil. I forgot about Ben Affleck as Daredevil. He did a damn good Batman.
The good thing about Ben Affleck playing Batman, he was an actor who for what they were doing with the characters themselves, I think he did a good job of playing both alter egos. He played he did a good job of playing Batman, and he made a good job of playing Bruce Wayne.
Bruce Wayne was probably easier for him with Jeremy Irons as Alfred to bounce off of. Yes, those two together on screen, I wanted more of that.
I did want more of that.
Like if Gotham would have been Ben Affleck and freaking Alfred Pennyworth, I'd be watching that every week.
Jeremy Irons, he did such a good job. And the thing is, he's not in a lot of scenes. He's just in a few scenes in that whole movie. But it works. Like, I don't know if they did it on purpose, because, like, man, I want to see more of that. But
his smart assery reminded me of Alfred from Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah, Batman. Alfred's always been kind of the sassy, smarmy, kind of smart ass, butler, because he puts him in his place.
Yeah,
flat out, I'm not going to keep bandaging you up, type of thing. I'm not going to come in here to keep you alive while you're killing yourself, But he does it anyways.
Yeah.
Seeing the new iteration of Batman on screen without going into... Yeah, we got the opening sequence of...
30 seconds of how his parents died.
We don't need
8 versions of Spider-Man Uncle Ben dying.
Exactly. So that aside, we got into we got a full fledged Batman. You know, no Batman Beyond or Batman Begins, Bruce Wayne. No, we got full fledged.
Why do we fall down, sir?
Yeah, exactly. We got
right down to the nitty
gritty. Batmobile chasing him on the fucking street. You know, we got all kinds of craziness in this movie. I love the suit. I thought they pulled him from one of the comics. You know, at some points. There's a scene in the trailer. It got me hooked right then and there where they're all fighting and you see Batman on the side of the building and he uses his little Gatling gun to shoot away from the building. I was like, God, that's perfect.
That's right out of freaking help me out here. The two-parter that they released on animated Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and there was some imagery pulled from that specifically. Well,
the armor.
The armor and the whole the
There's a now talking about it with you, there's a lot more potential in it that you probably wouldn't think about when you're just pointing looking at all the negatives.
Yeah,
and you would forget how much potential there was in this movie.
Yeah,
there's things I liked in general.
The one thing that I cannot defend in this movie is Lex Luthor. Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor. I don't know what they have in mind for that or what they were thinking on that. I just could not get into. I could not suspend my disbelief.
If he was the Riddler in the Christopher Nolan movie verse, he could have worked.
Yeah.
Lex Luthor now?
No. I would like to have the benefit of doubt that in the next installment, because we kind of saw a transition at the end of the movie, shaved head, it looked more like kind of pissed off-y, more serious.
He used to be stockier. I'm comparing him to Lex Luthor from like Superman the Animated Series. A lot of pretty much the animated universe from DC. He's built enough where man looking at Superman across from him, human to human, man to man, he is not intimidated.
Yeah,
and that's before he puts on the suits of armor or he has like coated kryptonite or whatever badassery he pulls out of his toolbox to try to stand up to Superman's level. Looking at Jesse Eisenberg standing in front of Superman and standing in front of Batman. It's like, where's the rest of him?
Is this the threat?
Like,
come on.
So they had to overcompensate by having Doomsday like freaking the size of the Empire State Building.
And that's Exhibit B. First there's Jesse Eisenberg, and then
a gritty movie verse, and you're not gonna give Doomsday genitalia.
That's your complaint. Okay, I didn't know you were going there. But
how about the realism?
Doomsday,
I could kind of see where they were going because as the attacks were coming, he was evolving just like in the comics, just like in the animated movies, but
it looked so bad, and I wish I wasn't spoiled on the fact that he was going to be in the movie in the trailer that released everything.
I even liked the twist that it was the dead corpse of General Zod. They made it interesting enough to where I can buy into it, I can invest into it.
Right.
The finished product was fucked up. And that's as politely as I can put it.
Fair enough. All right. So we have that. And then the last big negative on this, Martha.
Martha.
Their moms, both names are Martha. I didn't need that to be the
catalyst.
The big catalyst for them to be buddies.
Let's go drinking. All right.
But, I mean, enough has been said about the negatives. One last thing that... I put over Ben Affleck as Batman. Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. She was intriguing. Intriguing is what I want to use. Whenever you see her on the screen as Diana Prince, she's just walking around. You know who she's playing, but just seeing how she's going to interact with the whole thing.
There's an aura about her in the costume that, as much as I wanted a former UFC fighter or a strong woman that had like a professional sport background. You forget Gal Gadot was in the military for her home country. She knows what it's like to fight. She's in a decent shape for her build. She's high, and you have to put those red heels on her. She's even higher. It's like, oh my God, there's a presence of her in that costume. Where when I saw it, even when I saw it in the commercials, I tried to ignore it because I wanted to soak it all in front of the big screen. And oh my God, did I soak it in
that scene? Okay, it's been spoiled it was spoiled on the trailers. Yeah, that scene. Unfortunately, I wish it wasn't. I really wish that scene wasn't ruined for the trailer. Mm. But in watching it, myself, watching it in the theater with other people as bad as that movie has been up to that point.
That Junkie when, XL song hits, that
little theme. And her arms come down. That crowd.
Pop.
Yeah, they're clapping, they're hooting and hollering for it. That, man, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it because it was such an iconic moment in that movie. And now we've seen trailers for her movie that's coming out this year.
Ooh, yeah. And I'm putting all the money on the table. If DC can fuck up Wonder Woman after the promise that Gal Gadot gave in Batman vs. Superman and the trailer that they showed of Wonder Woman, if they have the capacity to fuck that up,
you're done.
I'm done. You know, because we saw what trailers did.
Yeah.
They made Suicide Squad fucking must-see movie madness.
Yeah.
We go to the theater, and the first 20, 25 minutes lived up to it. I was like, all right, I'm getting there. All right. And then it just classic, let's go dark. And like, oh, shit.
Well, it's fine. But the problem, I think, that happened with Suicide Squad was there's too many tropes that we've seen before. And again, there was, it was just kind of hodgepodge, bad editing. I think the editing was really what threw me off on that. The pacing of the editing, everything in that movie just threw it all off.
You tell me you bought the extended edition that has a couple of edits in there.
I have the extended copies of Batman vs. Superman and Suicide Squad. And I will tell you, all biases aside, both of those benefit from the extended versions.
I have the ultimate edition that has the extra minutes in the Batman vs Superman, and those gaps filled in do make a lot of sense.
Yes.
It's still long as shit. Like, they could have removed some other things that might not have been necessary, but what they left out that they put in the ultimate edition for BBS, I like.
And it's the same thing with Suicide Squad. Really? A big complaint about Suicide Squad was you come out of the movie and you're like, fuck, where's the movie? Because half the movie that we saw in the trailer wasn't in the...
It was two different movies put together, like, right at the middle.
Yeah. And come to find out, the editing was so bad because the studio got involved, and I think that's what happened with Batman vs. Superman. Warner Brothers can't seem to keep their hands out of the oven whenever they have qualified people making movies for these franchises. And on the Suicide Squad scene, they put quite a few scenes back in there with Joker and Harley Quinn, explaining more of that storyline. But there's still scenes missing from the trailers that I saw that wasn't even in the extended version. So I don't know what they're doing or what, but it was announced that at some point we are going to get, they were going to get a sequel to that, but in the meantime, we're going to get a Birds of Prey movie, which is going to star Margot Robbie again, reprising her role as Harley Quinn, and then we're going to get someone playing Catwoman and Poison Ivy.
That's going to be good.
That's going to be a delicious movie.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, so, and then we're going to get Suicide Squad. I wouldn't be surprised if we get a Deadshot movie, because
Will Smith was phenomenal as Deadshot.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would think with his comic book history, you would hazard to garner sympathy for a character like that, for an anti-hero. Mm-hmm. But they played his entire story up so well that I want to see a solo Deadshot. And I'd pay money to see that solo Deadshot.
And it was fun for me, like about halfway in this movie of seeing Will Smith as Deadshot, I was like, I'm really digging this. And the reason why is because the last like decade or so, Will Smith, his movie choices have been like all dramas and biopics and things like that. Just different things.
I miss Bad Boys. I miss Men in Black. I miss Wild Wild West. I miss Hancock. You know?
The fun, you know, it's, for better or worse, those aren't great movies. Hancock.
Independence Day?
Yeah. Those, you know, they're blockbuster movies that he used to be associated with, you know? And he's gotten out of that pool. And now he's back in there with this movie, and it's like, it's fun again. It's good to cheer him again, I think,
But not that the drama movies were bad. I mean, Pursuit of Happiness, Concussion,
I'm not
those
taking anything
really
away
good.
From those.
Yeah.
But, you know, come on.
Your bread and butter.
Yeah.
Yeah. The biggest surprise for me, moving out of the DC, the biggest surprise for me, one of the biggest of the year, you said how DC tends to get their nose and fingers in everybody's fucking business. I was shocked that Fox just went like this and told Ryan Reynolds, we have faith in you, the messiah of humor. Do it. And they gave us Deadpool. And already, just in that intro,
Jesus.
I'm getting goosebumps.
Yeah. Good God.
Deadpool is my movie of the year. My fucking favorite.
We said that a couple episodes ago.
Because, man, when I... watching Van Wilder when I was younger, I was like, this guy's going to make a good Deadpool. From Van Wilder, I was like, this guy's going to make a Deadpool. And then they revealed that he was going to be in X-Men Origins Wolverine as Deadpool. I was like, all right, you got my money. And man, besides the scenes of Ryan Reynolds without... he was freaking cool. I was like, all right, if they give it to him, give it to him, you know? And then I saw a preview to what I thought it would be. I saw the movie called The Voices. That also came out last year. He's a serial killer. Didn't want to be. He accidentally killed a girl, cut her head off, puts it in the fridge. He's got split personalities, and they're spoken through him by his dog and his cat. So, like, in the Deadpool comics, he has, like, two different voices in his head, plus himself talking, like, in the bubbles. Mm-hmm. And that's what Voices is kind of like.
Oh, okay.
So, I kind of knew what I was going to get when I realized that this Deadpool movie was coming, and it did not... It exceeded my highest expectations.
I think it blew everybody away. It, like, exceeded expectations out the ass.
That's the first movie that I pre-ordered off of iTunes, like, a month and a half before the movie was released on iTunes, which was a month and a half before it was released on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
So if people that have heard our past episodes of Pop Culture Rewind, they've obviously heard how much we are fanatics.
I don't think it's on YouTube, but on our iTunes page, we do have a Deadpool review.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So go check that out. We're gushing all over that movie.
And it continues because already we lost. Ryan Reynolds had to ditch some people that from Deadpool 2 because. He wasn't really driving with the choices that they wanted for Cable and Domino. And to Fox's credit, they stood back and they said, you know what? You're in control. We're going to have faith in you. You didn't steer us wrong with number one. Hopefully that momentum continues. Number two, handle it. And he's been handling it. And I'm even more excited now for number two. Even if it's damn near carbon copy of Deadpool 1, if you replace...
It's not broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, replace Colossus with fucking Cable, I'm still in! Fuck!
It takes place on a highway and everything.
Yeah, I don't care. Yeah. Shit.
Yeah, Deadpool, I think if you want to say anything as a surprise of the year...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Marvel, Marvel, for the last 5 or 6 years... Guardians of the Galaxy, Winter Soldier, Age of Ultron, freaking Civil War. There's a lot more home runs than there are strikeouts with the Marvel movies.
Right.
You are not expecting, and for the other movies around the way, like Sony and Fox, like X-Men Apocalypse, it was good. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't fucking like
more of the same. More of the same.
Yeah, more of the same. You're not expecting something that's Marvel related, but not coming out of Marvel Studios to like really get everybody's attention.
They released it on Valentine's Day, February. It's not like a summertime blockbuster release date. It wasn't something that
they even advertised it as a chick movie.
I love that. Do you see the little faux poster of the comedy romance rom com thing? Yeah. Oh,
they hit it at the park.
Marketing team, I'd say. After like months of marketing, I was like, give those people a raise because they are knocking out of the.
And it's still not over. There is a very slight chance, very slight, but there's still a chance Deadpool could be nominated for Oscar for Movie of the Year.
Well, it was nominated for Golden Globes. Yeah. Ryan Reynolds was nominated for actor, and Deadpool was
comedy or drama or something.
Yeah,
comedy or drama.
Well, comedy, yeah.
Yeah. So. And the last couple of years, they changed the Oscars to where movies that have made the most money actually have a legitimate shot because those are the people that are casual watching. Yeah. Like, okay, so why the fuck isn't The Dark Knight as movies of the year? Because it's fucking Heath Ledger, you know? So they started fixing
it. That's why last year we got Mad Max as a nominee for Oscar of the Year because that's a movie that people watched.
Yeah.
So
you can't argue a movie that made $500 million in a month as opposed to like an independent movie, which could be really good, but maybe like a town has seen it in population as opposed to everybody that's on that.
It's just throwing a bone to the casual audience. They're not going to win them. They're not going to win the awards, but it's just there just to get the people watching, you know, to watch the awards. And, you know, well, we could hope, you know, we could hope that something wins, but if anything, like if there is a surprise of the year, I'd say not the movie itself, but this, how successful it was. That thing broke records. And we are seeing the effects of that now because now we got Logan coming out rated R. It was a Wolverine movie, rated R. It's coming out this year. It's the final Hugh Jackman Wolverine movie. Introducing X-23.
Laura Keating.
I can't even say a spoiler because it's on the trailers.
It's out there.
Yeah.
And it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you see that latest trailer? He's reading. There's an X-Men or an X-Men comic.
They made it specifically for the movie. Like, yeah. It's not an old.
Well, no, it's just weird that
they're breaking their own fourth wall. Yeah. It's like, oh hey, look, yeah,
it worked for Deadpool.
Yeah, that's the most. That's the closest that we're gonna see Wolverine, Hugh Jackman in the whole classic garb because he ain't wearing that shit now.
Yeah,
you know? Unless they bring it back for Deadpool.
Yeah, they could.
Civil War.
Yeah,
Captain America: Civil War. People were kind of worried because the whole comic book story of Civil War is not really the best. It's just an excuse to have your heroes fight each other.
Wait a minute. Stop right there. For those people that were bitching about comparing to the comic, about how the comic had all these Marvel characters fighting each other, think about it for a second. Did you really think they were going to get all those characters in this two-hour movie? No. It would have been like X-Men Last Stand, where they just brought in all these mutants just for the sake
of pawns. Yeah. Like, yeah.
It wouldn't have made it different. It wouldn't have made matter. But I love the fact on Civil War that it was the confined group, because we had, like, I think you said it on one of our past episodes, it was, we've had 8 to 10 years or whatever, 8 or 10 movies of these characters, that now we can take this core group and divide them. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense. It made sense for the movie, I thought, you know. And of course, the big surprise, the big
web slinger,
the big coup that Marvel did was they brought Spider-Man back.
They
into
worked
the
out
fold.
A deal with Sony,
and that's the deal of the year, I would think, for that.
Hopefully, the first of many.
If I had a nit to pick of the year, a nitpick of the year would be revealing Spider-Man in the trailer before the movie came out.
Yes.
How awesome would that have been? In the theater, not knowing nothing, seeing, you know, not well before that when we cut to Queens,
yeah,
and we see the kid walking around and it's Peter, and you would have been losing your shit.
Yeah. Devil's advocate though, we're on Facebook all the time. You're hardcore. I'm hardcore-ish kind of as far as the Marvel movies. We would have stumbled over it even if we didn't want to, eventually. So wouldn't it have been a bit, and this is coming from me who had that same complaint as you, but now later on, wouldn't it have been more profitable for Marvel's sake to let the cat out of the bag on their own as opposed to letting the peons and all these little, like, no showering mofos release it?
It's funny you say that because I believe in one of our earlier episodes, 2016, right when the hype was coming in before the movie came out, or might have been the review for the movie, I think. Yeah, it was the review for the movie. I said, I get it. Like, I know why they released that information on the trailer is to get people talking about it and to get people to go watch the movie in the first place.
Oh, it did.
Because if people didn't know about it, it would have been successful. But how more successful was it that everybody went to go rush out to go see Spider-Man in that freaking movie? And that scene, that airport battle scene in that movie, I'm sorry, that was entertaining as fuck. See, well, Spider-Man in general, they finally got him right.
Yeah.
As far as the wisecracks, the jokes, his abilities, what he was doing, flipping around, and the way he's playing off of the other characters, it works so well.
On the other side of the coin, I don't think I've never been more emotionally invested in the Marvel Universe as I was with the final showdown with Captain America and Iron Man going back and forth. That's 10 years of Marvel movie storytelling at its core, you know, and right down to Steve Rogers in every movie. He's like, you know, like, I can do this all day.
Yeah.
And people haven't, I don't even know if people realize this from the previous movie with Age of Ultron, Tony Stark, his own words bit him in the face. He's like, I can't trust anybody that doesn't have a dark side. Guess what? He was the darkest fucker he ever came across because he held Tony's worst secret. You know, I was like, fuck, they tied all that shit together.
Yeah.
You know?
And the thing is, I know a lot of people were kind of joking around calling it, you know, Avengers 2.5.
So?
But honestly, if you think about it, this was the third movie in the Captain America franchise. This is a trilogy now. I mean, this is, and you know, to follow up on Winter Soldier.
Thank you.
To follow that up and surpass it. Dude.
And that was a completely different take of a movie. Winter Soldier was like 80s like crime thriller. It wasn't supposed
spy,
to, it wasn't an action movie per se. Like you had to pay attention and invest in all the details. And this movie, number three, was a part three also didn't feel like your normal Marvel cookie cutter hero movie. It was different enough to where you can classify it on its own. But then Captain America 1, 2, and 3, those three probably might be the core, the most solid foundation as far as a core of a comic book franchise as far as going on right now with Marvel, even with DC. Regardless, I don't think either one of those franchises made your movie of the year last year.
No, it didn't make my movie of the year. Because my movie of the year belongs to Rogue One. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Dude, that came out like 2 weeks before the end of the year, and it's already like, by the end of the year, it was like the second top grossing movie of the year. 2 weeks.
Yeah.
2 weeks. Like the number one is Finding Dory, a family Pixar movie. In your second place after that.
And that movie was out in the summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2 weeks. It just surpassed, I saw it today on Facebook, it just surpassed 1 billion worldwide.
Oh, that's an elite category right there.
Yeah.
Not, yeah, to crack the billion mark, yeah.
You know, it's funny, I was listening to Kevin Smith's Fat Man on Batman podcast, and they were doing their own reviews of it. And he made a good point, like, they were kind of talking about how the marketing and everything, and they said that it's not a saga movie. It's not an episodic movie. It's just a standalone movie. I beg to differ. That is, and I'm agreeing with Kevin, because Kevin Smith is what he said. Like, this is definitely a saga movie. More so than some of the saga movies themselves.
That's fucking 3.5, basically.
Yeah.
It did a very good job of portraying itself as 3.5, as that buffer in between, I forgot what,
Revenge of the Sith.
Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope.
Yeah.
That was the buffer right there, Rogue One.
The way it ties into Star Wars, man, the ending of that movie was bananas.
Yeah.
And if you haven't seen it yet, what's wrong with you? Go watch it.
I'm kind of afraid to see it now, because seeing Princess Leia now with the aftermath of her passing away is probably like a punch
that's
gut
what his
right
co-host,
in the feels.
That's what,
but I don't know if I would want to watch it again.
That's what his co-host was saying. He said that they watched it. You know, he's watched it 3 times already. The first 2 times was before she passed. The third time was after she passed. And he did say it made a huge, it gave a different vibe, feeling to that scene that you see her in. And yeah, I do want to go back and watch this movie. Not because just for that, but
there still feels like things that I missed.
Yeah, and man,
I slept through 20 minutes of it.
See that right there? You don't have to say that.
No. Okay,
but you did. So yeah, just future warning. Just don't mention it. Just don't mention that you fell asleep through the.
And then what's next? Episode 8. The Last Jedi,
announced today, 2017. We because it's coming out this year. is episode 8's title was released? Yeah, The Last Jedi.
Remember, so, Jedi is plural also, so it could mean just Rey, or it could be Rey and Luke, or it could be maybe somebody else.
If we're going off what we know, I'm probably gonna say it's Rey. Okay. But that's just my initial thought. I could be totally wrong. There could be some swerves in there somewhere. I don't know. I'm looking forward to seeing it. And it's going to be a long time from now, which is 12 months, 11 months,
10 and a half.
Yeah.
My biggest surprise of 2016, Ghost Rider was on the list, but to its defense, I, for the most part, have been a big fan of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. from the beginning. I need to catch up on some of the episodes from the past seasons. Watching Ghost Rider reminded me why I need to. But that wasn't working from a deficit to get me back to where I was. I was not expecting Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows to be as good as it was, because
well, you're talking about the movie that came out,
the movie that came out this year. It embraced the fact that it's a fucking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, and they embraced the campiness. They brought back characters. If they're going 80s with the feel of this movie, they brought back characters that we would recognize as kids from the 80s and the 90s, Bebop and Rocksteady, and their tomfoolery, and just the Technodrome flying around, and it was fun. The first movie felt like it tried too hard to live up to an expectation that it itself built. Mm-hmm. This one just let itself go and was just fucking awesome. I bought it. I have it. I watch it frequently. I like this
movie. You watch it frequently?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I like it a lot.
Okay, well, it's fine.
Compared to the first one, I like this one a lot. And to
is that just because of the characters they brought back? Because they brought back Krang, Bebop, Rocksteady, Casey Jones is in it. But
It all works. It all works for me.
Okay. Well, that's fair. I mean, it's fair. It's all subjective.
I hope Michael Bay takes that concept and lets Transformers 5, The Last Night, be as campy as the 80s cartoons were. Just embrace it. Go with it. You know,
we've seen the trailer. I don't know if they're going to do that or not, but...
We've seen what trailers can and can't build up on.
Yeah,
you know, so I'm not gonna take that with the whole, with the biggest grip.
Here's my take on the Ninja Turtle movie, because after your glowing recommendation of the movie, I said okay, fine, if shut this guy up, I'll watch it. So I watched the movie, and I was like, I'm not digging the movie. Like the Casey Jones, Stephen Amell, yeah, he's Arrow, he ain't Casey Jones. I'm sorry, no. And then just everything after another, I was seeing this, like, this is not working out. I'm not digging it. And it's towards like maybe halfway, three quarters of the movies. You know what? I'm not saying that I like the movie, but I'm not saying I dislike it. Here's the thing. I realize what they did. And yeah, you're right. They brought back some features that older people like us, we would recognize. However, this movie, what they did was to me, they made a movie to their core demographic, and we are not their core demographic.
We were with the 80s movies that came out, which is why we like them so much.
Right.
If kids like these movies as much as we like the 80s movies, then their kids can take them to the next reiteration and
right.
It keeps going.
And that's my thing. Like, they wanted to have some familiarities. So, like, the parents with, like, the dads or whatever would be like, hey, yeah.
Yeah!
So, yeah, it was for that, for the nostalgia factor of it. But, and especially if you break down some of these scenes in this movie, yeah, it is definitely a kid's movie.
Going through puberty, like, you're about to bust your first nut when you're watching Megan Fox take off that plaid skirt. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, Megan Fox is hot anyway. I mean, that's the one that I can't take away from her.
Yeah.
Actually, there was a rumor that, or not a rumor, I don't know, it's floating around on the internet somewhere, that she might be, that's one of the front runners for playing Poison Ivy in the Birds of Prey movie. Yeah. Or the, not, did I say Birds of Prey? I meant, I think I said that earlier, not Birds of Prey. Gotham Sirens.
Oh, yeah, Gotham Sirens, yeah.
But anyway, that's, but, yeah, there's scenes that were just definitely like this kid humor in the movie, and I think once I was seeing, I was like, what the fuck, like, and I was like, okay, well then that's what it is, and then I didn't hate on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't hate on it because it's a kid's movie. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Like,
and that was the first defense when we talked about the first movie. The first thing you see on the first Ninja Turtles movie when you go in the theater and you sit down and watch, bam, Nickelodeon Studios. When's the last time we've watched Nickelodeon?
2 weeks ago. No, that's interesting. Yeah. But people in general, they don't take that in consideration, mm-hmm. I think. They just think it's for them. Mm-hmm. You know, this is my childhood. You raped my childhood. You killed my childhood. But it's not
ours anymore.
Yeah. It's a franchise. It's an IP. It's something that makes money for a company. I'm sorry that you think it's entitled to you alone, but it's not.
Mm.
You gotta move on, and that's what they're gonna be saying about when Power Rangers comes out this year.
I'm looking forward to it, and I'm gonna walk in with that same mentality that it's not for me. If I like it, that's just what they get.
I will say, you know? The second trailer dropped this past week.
It's
week
a
before.
Whole lot better.
It's a lot better than the first trailer, but I still get a vibe of like Chronicle. Remember the movie Chronicle? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, because I don't think they had superpowers. Like, this one, they got superpowers. Yeah. Like, that doesn't sound work. Right. Mm-mm. But there was a lot of imagery that I'm seeing character-wise and things like that from what we saw when we were kids. And, yeah, I'll check it out. I'm curious about it.
I'll give it the benefit of the doubt.
I'm not going to rush out to see it or anything. You will, yeah. I know what that means. I know that denial.
Okay, here's what I am looking forward to for 2017.
All right.
The Lego Batman movie.
Lego Batman movie, okay.
Yes. The Lego movie was such fun to watch. Will Arnett as Batman, as his version of Batman, just to get an extension of that in its own movie, and it fucking works. It's hilarious. It's it has a 66 Batman campiness vibe to it, and that it's just embracing itself as a bunch of Legos, and I'm ready.
The only thing that caught my attention in that movie was it made me chuckle because there's a certain casting choice for that movie that I appreciate. They have Billy Dee Williams playing Two-Face.
Yes.
And if you know your history, your cinematic Batman history,
show him, teach him.
Billy Dee Williams, he played Harvey Dent in the first Batman movie. He was going to play Two-Face in the following movies, but contracts, storylines, everything, no one liked each other, blah blah blah. Go watch your old episode on Batman cinematic history. Mm-hmm. It's on YouTube. It's on iTunes. Yeah. But yeah, he's gonna play Two-Face in this one, and I'm like, hey, there you go, justice, vindication.
Yeah.
Well, since you mentioned it, there's a lot of movies coming out in 2007 this year.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2,
Justice League. We were talking about all the DC stuff. Yeah. You mentioned Wonder Woman earlier. Justice League is coming out this year also.
Yeah,
and I'm hearing it's a mess.
Shocker.
but I'm still gonna go watch it. I don't know, but so we got Justice League, we have Star Wars Episode 8, we just talked about Guardians of the Galaxy 2, you just mentioned. In March we have two things. We got Logan, we talked about just a minute ago.
Ooh.
We also have Alien Covenant.
Ooh.
Ridley Scott's coming back to direct. It's supposed to be a true prequel to Alien, so
this doesn't happen after Prometheus.
It does, but it's still a
But
true.
It's supposed to be...
It's
okay.
Right.
This is the buffer between Prometheus and the
first. This is the Rogue
movie.
One.
Okay, gotcha.
So right. If you want to hear what the internet says. Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh!
We just talked about this a few minutes ago. Yeah, Spider-Man, we're still retaining the cast that they picked for the Marvel movie, and now Marvel is in control of the Sony-released reboot. Well, not even reboot, it's a continuation of... Mm-hmm. Civil War. Which I guess would be a reboot of the Sony side of things.
Yeah.
Because Andrew Garfield and all of them are gone. So this is where we're going now. Hey, we got Marissa Tomei as Aunt May. I'm okay with that. So, but we have... And that's one thing we didn't talk about was the guy that Tom Holland, who was playing Peter Parker. Excellent job. And a lot of people were complaining about picking a kid for Spider-Man.
Duh.
It
High
makes
school?
Sense. It makes perfect sense. Do you want to be in a situation where in 5 years you've got a 50-year-old guy playing Spider-Man? No, you don't. You want a young person because Spider-Man is in high school. You have more room to continue that young high school-ish story and build on that. So I'm digging it. He did an excellent job, I thought.
The one thing I've had my fingers crossed for, which is a long shot in hell, but the fact that they're doing Spider-Man in high school, I would love if they were to pull this off in Homecoming to just give a little bit, a few minutes to build on Flash Thompson, the bully, Peter Parker's bully, football player, but have something happen to where he loses the mobility of his legs, probably in a football injury, and this building up to a spinoff where the new Agent Venom cartoon.
So you
want to
jump? So you want to jump right into it?
Yeah,
much.
and they have the Venom symbiote, and they test it out on him, and he becomes Agent Venom.
Spoiler alert for the comics.
And
Flash
Thompson but
is,
but the story and the first 8 issues of Venom, it sells itself as far as making a spinoff movie, and if you can lay the foundation in Homecoming, that'd be great.
Well, we're not gonna get all that in Homecoming, but yeah, they're gonna introduce all these characters, so. Thor Ragnarok.
Ooh.
Man, if you've been following the previews for this, man, it's looking good. The fact that it's gonna be a Thor Hulk buddy movie, pretty much, you got me sold right there. But they're also taken from Planet Hulk, the comic book story, and I am very curious to see how they're gonna do that. So, John Wick Chapter 2. If you saw John Wick, you're cool because you know about it. If you didn't know about it, go watch it first. Don't read anything to it. Just watch it. That's what I did. I was told not to look into it. Just watch the movie. I did. I loved it. And I'm staying away from the trailers and everything because I want to have the same...
You want to go in open-minded.
Yeah. I want to have the same experience as this chapter, this last one. Now, there's... I don't know if you remember... I'm sure you remember if you're watching Pop Culture Rewind. Back in the 90s, there was a movie called Fifth Element. The director of that, he's been kind of on a hiatus ever since, pretty much. He's done some things here and there. But you don't hear from the guy anymore. He's actually coming back this year with a new movie, Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets. What that is, it's an old 1960s sci-fi comic. French. It's a French comic. It's actually some of the inspiration for used for Star Wars, actually.
Okay.
So I've seen the trailer for this. I can definitely tell. Even my wife, she saw it. She was like, hey, this looks like Fifth Element. It's definitely, he's got the same vibe and feeling visually as Fifth Element. But I think it's got my curiosity, and it's got my attention. Mm-hmm. So I'm definitely looking forward to this. Other things I'm kind of looking forward to, Insidious Chapter 4, Fate of the Furious, just because I'm kind of curious to see
how they're going to make it fresh. Yeah.
Jumanji. And the only reason I'm interested in Jumanji is because I smell what Dwayne Johnson and Kevin Hart can do in a movie. Central Intelligence, that's probably, if I had to break down my top five, Central Intelligence, because I haven't seen a whole lot this year, granted, but Central Intelligence, it's probably the comedy of the year for me.
Really?
I haven't seen a lot of comedies.
I'm sick of Kevin Hart, but if you're telling me this, I will watch it.
It's because they flip the roles. Like, in this movie, in Central Intelligence, like, the Rock is kind of like the goofy
character. Shit, okay.
And yeah. Kevin Hart is like, no, man, I'm not doing that. He's the accountant. Okay. You know, he's the banker. And Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, he's out there crazy,
yeah.
You know. But, and it works because it's a switch. And if they're two together,
mm-hmm.
And if you've seen them, if you see his Instagram page or YouTube, them two together on social media, it's hilarious. They are great together. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they're going to do in Jumanji. Scarlett Johansson, she's going to be in Ghost in the Shell. We talked about that on a previous episode.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about Cars 3.
Oh, yes.
Did you see the new trailers? I sent you the yes. link to the new trailers.
The hybrid car that's coming, that's basically taking Lightning McQueen's spot as the up-and-comer. And does the old man have one more in him?
But they continue the tease where they started flipping. Now they continue the trailer to show you more of the story. So they still got my attention. Kingsman 2. I'm looking forward to that. Kingsman, I thought, was a really good sleeper hit.
Mm-hmm.
No one really knew about it. No, you kind of didn't know.
Anything with Samuel L. Jackson, if you don't give it a chance, you suck.
Well, yeah, it's not even. He's in it, but he plays a weird character. He's got a lisp for some reason.
Yeah.
But the story was just, it's kind of like James Bond with like more sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's
for a younger audience because it's a young kid that's the main star in the movie.
Kong, I'm looking forward to
Skull Island.
Yeah, because it's supposed to eventually tie into the Godzilla reboot that we got a couple years ago, and then we just mentioned a little while ago Transformers 5: The Last Night.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm doing for
this year so far.
Yeah,
I'll add a couple more. You mentioned Ghost in the Shell as an anime. Last year in 2016, there is an anime movie called Same Name. It's basically a boy and a girl from Japan where somehow they make a wish on this like rare comet star that they wanted to, that the girl wants to be a boy and the boy wants to be a girl, and they switch roles, but they're facing their new lives in a Western civilization of Japan where the rules are different. Mm-hmm. When you speaking as a boy is different as speaking as a girl. Okay. And behavior and running into that, it's the highest, it's surpassed in the record books, it's the highest grossing movie anime in of all time in Japan as far as anime movies go. Hmm, okay. And they're bringing it over here to the United States as an English dub in April. So that's gotten my attention. M. Night Shyamalan, I'm not a huge fan of... I don't normally watch horror movies or M. Night Shyamalan movies.
Yeah.
But with James McAvoy playing the lead character of Split he's supposed to have 23 different Split personalities, and apparently the twist, the end of this movie is like
he's back to form. That's what I heard. Yeah. That M. Night Shyamalan, he's back to form in this movie. And I'm curious about it because it's getting good reviews already. Yeah. I'm definitely gonna check that one out.
And there's one more movie that already has been in theaters for a while. I'm trying to catch it before it leaves the theater. It's called A Monster's Calling.
Mm-hmm.
A kid's dealing with the potential and eventual loss of his parent. So he has these drawings that he does of a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And in his imagination, the tree comes to life. And the tree helps him overcome the grief and dealing with the loss of his parent. And the tree's voiced by Liam Neeson. And there's some awesome visual effects of the kid like dealing with his grief and his anger, especially when he's being bullied in school while going through all of it. And it really got my attention. I want to catch it in the theater. I think there's one theater within 100 miles that's still having it for about a week or two left, and I'm hoping that I can catch it in a big room before I eventually get it on digital.
Okay.
So far, on top of everything that you've already listed, which for the most part our tastes in movies are the same, and I kind of want to watch the McDonald's documentary with
The founder.
Yeah, the founder.
With Michael Keaton. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've already heard good things about that one too. Yeah. Yeah. And it's not just because, but it's a fast, to me, it got my attention just to the story. It's like, I kind of want to hear, I want to see that story, because I'm not familiar with how McDonald's was founded. So, you know, and it's McDonald's, you know, everybody knows McDonald's. So, before we wrap this up, there's a couple other, TV shows I wanted to briefly mention here. Timeless, that's a good show on NBC, that came out this year. It's kind of a sci-fi, it's time travel. I meant to talk about it when we're talking about the DC shows, mm-hmm. because it coincides with Legends of Tomorrow, where they go back in time to try to stop catastrophes from happening, changing the past. The exact same show of Timeless, but Timeless it's not DC. It's not like comic booky, but it's. But I found first of all, it's a really good show. The good cast, really good cast, and the it's so funny that these shows, like these two shows back to back, week by week, they happen to be going the same.
Places?
Yeah, it's so weird. I don't know if it's like on purpose that they know what's going on, but anyway. So if you're kind of curious about want to check out a new show, I would recommend Timeless. It's a new show that just came out not too long ago. I said earlier that the surprise for me of the year was, you know, Deadpool doing so good. I want to put a caveat on that, a little asterisk. That was surprise movie of the year. I have a surprise TV show of the year. All right. This is on Netflix. Netflix exclusive. I just started season two of this because it just came on this week. I'm in the middle of the binge right now for it. Season one, Voltron.
Oh, really?
Legendary Defender. Now, I grew up in the 80s. I know Voltron. I was
5 minute Lion Bots come together to form one Super Ron.
Yes, it's your you know your mech your big mech you know mech giant up. Robot you know coming together. And the cartoon, as good as the toy was, if you remember growing up, you had the toy, the lions.
That fucker's expensive now. Yeah, by the new version.
The cartoon, as much as iconic as the theme song was, and form, you know, the whole sequence and then forming Voltron and slicing the dude in half, whatever. That's iconic as it is, but the episodes themselves, like if you try to sit through, like Voltron, like the cartoon. It's not so good. You're just basically, you're waiting for them to get to the point
it's
where
it's basically like old episodes of Power Rangers. You don't care about the Rangers fighting putties.
Show me them for me. Yeah, show me
Grow,
the money.
Megazord, Green Ranger. Yeah.
So when this, and they tried doing reboots of Voltron in the past to some success, whatever. There's, I think, a CG reboot back in the 90s when like Beast Wars and things like that was out. And they're hyping on that CG formula. It was okay. It wasn't great. The CG sucked. but this, I had no like expectation for it. I was like, I'll give it a shot. Whatever. If I don't tell you, I was hooked on that show. Like, I ended up binge watching the whole thing like in a day and a half.
Wow.
They take this show and they throw away the stuff that you expect them to do. Like, you expect them to all get together and form up Voltron, like, episode one, maybe two. No, you don't see Voltron until, like, episode five or six.
And they lose in their first big battle, right?
Yeah. They get their ass kicked.
Yeah.
Because they don't know how to be Voltron. It's fucking awesome. Like,
spoiler alert.
the storytelling in the individual episodes, it doesn't take anything for granted. Yeah, it's serious, but at the same time, it's an anime. So, if you know anime, you know they can do corny. At the same time, like emotions, like big eyes or big
the little waterfalls coming down the eyes,
stuff like that. Stuff like the anime, it's got an anime vibe to it. But when they're not doing that, the animation is so good.
And that was one of your gripes. I remember when you first saw the trailer for Voltron. I was like, I don't know if I'm digging this new animation.
Yeah,
it won you over.
But it worked. The story, I think the story more than the animation won me over. Man, it is so good. Not every episode is a fucking home run, but it builds on to the next episode. I mean, there's literally a build up to a battle, and it's like, oh, credits, you know, and the next episode takes place right in and there. I would just, if you grew up in the 80s, and you're looking for, you know, it's got the nostalgia kick, but it's fresh too, and it works so well. I was blown away about how I was just watching it just for the storytelling and not, oh yeah, they're Voltron. It was like a side thought after a while, you know. Matter of fact, there's an episode this season I was watching that they're in a battle, this individually as lions, and they're like, the princess, she was like, you got to form Voltron. And he says, okay, let's form Voltron. The next scene, he's already Voltron. They don't even go through the
transformation.
The big bunny shot. They don't even go through all the whole transformation thing. It's like the next scene, he comes busting out of a scene, busting out of something, but just a big dramatic shot. But anyway, it's like I said, if you grew up in the 80s and you like anime or just sci-fi, you're just Voltron, you know, robots, things like that, or a good story in anime, watch it. It's good. I don't think you'll be disappointed. So
maybe we could finish it off on that same train of thought, because there's another anime. That's going on right now. Mm-hmm. That we need to watch as soon as we finish the recording.
Aha!
Dragon Ball Super.
Yes.
Dragon Ball Super.
It came out a few years ago.
Back from the first Dragon Ball Z movie that they released, Battle of the Gods, and then I don't know where they're going to get to the Resurrection of F, but the Dragon Ball Super starts. They're retelling the story of how they run into
as they normally do in Dragon Ball Z.
It took forever
for them to get English dubs.
Yeah,
and it just is 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. They started back up on Cartoon Network. Cartoon Network actually started up their Toonami
again. They brought it back.
Yeah, their little run of shows. I tried to watch the subtitled versions of this, I just couldn't get into it. You follow it so long in the English voices, and like it's not the same. And then finally we sat down and watched the first episode. We're like, there it is. Yeah. There it is. All right.
Mr. Satan. Yeah.
And I love the fact they're not editing anything. It's not Hercule. It's Mr. Satan. It's not. I've heard them say hell, damn it, shit. I've heard them say stuff that they would say on the anime version or the Japanese version. So, it's
good.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. So there's a couple recommendations from us. I think it's... That's pretty much it. I was going to go into, you know, talk about some of the people that passed away this year, but, you know, like Prince, David Bowie, Carrie Fisher. But
Debbie Reynolds,
man. Yeah, just days after. So many, man. Muhammad Ali. Alan Rickman, dude. Gene Wilder. I mean, so many good actors and musicians. Gary Shandling, Alan Thicke. We got George Michael. Mrs. Brady.
Oh, yeah,
she passed away. If you're a music fan, you know the Eagles, Glenn Frey, he passed away. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Way to end the show on a downer.
No, well, you know, it's something that, because you know, no matter what it is, but it was so prevalent in 2016.
Every week. Yeah. It felt like every week to the point where, who's next? Who's next? Who's next? To the point of, oh shit, Betty White's got to go fund me for $10K. Okay, yeah, it became commonplace almost.
Yeah. Now they say it comes in threes, but man, this is like, comes in 300s, man. Jeez, it's like, it got to the point where anytime I was seeing like an actor's name that I like on trending.
Yeah, oh shit, what happened?
Yeah, I was, oh God, and you click on it, oh, it's his birthday.
Damn it!
Yeah, oh. But anyway, I think that's... Do you have anything else that you want to add? I think that wraps up.
That wraps it up.
I'm sorry it took so long to get this episode out, but it's still in January. That was our mandate. By the end of January, we had to do this. So.
And I was prodding you, like, are we doing it?
Yeah, so...
Aren't you glad we did?
I'm glad
we did. You expected it to be a freaking 25-minute razzmatazz, dude. We're almost breaking an hour and a half.
We haven't done that in a few episodes.
Yeah.
But... Thank you for tuning in and listening to our show.
Thank you for 2016.
Yeah.
Stick around this year. Hopefully we don't
all lose
these as many.
Good movies coming out in 2017, man. I'm stoked for this year.
Walking Dead starts up in February, and then Game of Thrones comes after that, and summer blockbusters after that, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, man.
There's plenty of. There's plenty of food in the buffet for us to...
An embarrassment of riches. I mean, it's like, it's too much. You know, yeah. There's like so much content. Like, oh, I got, you know, we're
yeah.
Even video games, Mass Effect Andromeda, that's coming out in March. If you're a video game fan, if you've listened to past episodes, hey, I got Mass Effect. You
Legend
have
Legend of Zelda: Breath of the Wind.
You got a Nintendo Switch coming out this year. So
they're bringing back Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Yeah,
you know, we got Infinite coming up this year also.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. So, man, a lot of good stuff coming out this year. So. Hopefully we'll have this coming in next year. We'll be able to say the same thing about 2017 yeah. about some of the...
Without so many deaths.
Yeah, please. Yeah, geez. So, again, thank you for listening and watching us on YouTube. Subscribe to our channel if you haven't done so already. Leave some comments below. Give us a thumbs up. Share it with your friends. You know, give the word out to us. You know, mm-hmm. Get the word out for us. So... and if you're on Facebook, again, follow us on Facebook and Twitter and on Instagram. We're on Instagram, too. I throw some pictures up there from time to time. And on the MP3, on the iTunes and the everything, check us out. Subscribe to us. Tell us what you think of our show. If you're on iTunes, give us a rate and review. We haven't had those in a while. and just, you know, yeah. Spread the word. Yeah. Got anything else?
That's it.
All right. Well, until next time. Always remember to pop your culture.
Top guys,
out.